We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Okay, welcome in episode 129 of Hogan Johns. And, you know, I was just sitting here thinking, we've done 129 of these podcasts, and we've had way too many of these post-game episodes the last couple of years. I mean, my God, that was an absolute disaster for John Fox and the Chicago Bears. Today at Soldier Field, as we sit overlooking sloppy, ugly, torn up, ripped up Soldier Field. Kind of a perfect metaphor for what happened today. Adam Hogan, Adam Johns here with you. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our post-game thoughts are up. WGNradio.com/Bears is where you can read my column on John Fox completely flopping in his most important game as Chicago Bears head coach. And Johns is at ChicagoSunTimes.com. What did you write about?
It's time to take the training wheels off of Mitch Trubisky. A lot of that has to do with John Fox. Enough is enough. I get the reason why you want to protect him with your run game, but their run game sucks. It's overrated. It's really not that good. Five more negative runs today. I think they're all in the first half. It's just not good. It's not a good situation. Let the kid play. It's what the season's all about.
I have a long list of stuff here that I wrote down during the game. And actually, the thing I'm going to start with, I actually forgot to write down. But would you call Tariq Cohen the most electric playmaker on the team?
Not if he only touches the ball twice. No. No, he's not. Well, he possibly could be. But
see, I think he clearly is. But he only had two touches. On offense, at least. He's a kick returner now. But two touches? I don't care. You know, maybe there's some things he's not doing well. Maybe defenses are adjusting. But how do you – they only tried to get him the ball three times, okay? How do you possibly explain the decision? At what point over the last 2 weeks where they've not been playing football and preparing for this game, did some genius at Hallis Hall come up with the idea to play Josh Bellamy as much as they did today? What?
Here's the stat for you. You know how many snaps he had over the past four games before this one? I put it in my column. 14. And now he's a focal point of your offense. Okay, great catch, 46-yard touchdown, great throw, more so. But what is going on offensively? Where's the rhythm for your young quarterback? That's what I was really getting at in my column. Adam Shaheen, the rookie tight end, has two good catches in the first half. He was rumbling and tumbling and knocking guys over on the 31-yarder off a play-action boot. Never targeted again. Yeah. Trey McBride set career highs against the Saints 2 weeks ago. A lot of success out of bunch formations. Where was he, and where were those formations today? Marcus Wheaton, you know, this is a funny stat. According to the game book, he didn't play today. But I'm pretty sure he came on the field in the fourth quarter.
He was out there. I saw him with my own eyes. He was on the field. Why he wasn't on the field the rest of the game, I have no freaking idea. This is what I'm getting at, Adam. I'm done defending Dow Loggins. I think you and I have done it a lot. And I fully understand that a lot of this is John Fox, too. It's both of them. Okay? It's on both of them. You come out of the bye week with that game plan. And, oh, by the way, your quarterback actually played pretty well. 297 yards. His passer rating was 97, I believe it was. I don't have it in front of me. It was pretty darn good. Trubisky made some mistakes. He looked like he didn't fully trust the protection in front of him. Overall, he played pretty well. He continues to look like a more than capable, promising young quarterback. The excuses are gone. How you come out with Josh Bellamy, I don't know. And I don't care that he caught that 46-yard touchdown. It was poor coverage by Devon House. It was one nice route by Bellamy. I'll give him credit for it, but it was a good throw. A lot of other wide receivers could have had that touchdown there as well. In reality, he was targeted seven times in the game. Again, you brought up a great point with Shaheen, targeted twice. Tariq Cohen, touched the ball twice. Josh Bellamy was targeted seven times, and he only caught the ball twice. All right, there's an issue there. There's illegal shifts. You practice all week long with Bradley Soule as your extra blocker who's eligible as a receiver, and a wide receiver covers him up. You practice that all week long and you screw that up. I realize some of that's on the players, but it's a lot of it's coaching too. You have terrible clock management before the half. It took John Fox 6 seconds to call a timeout after a third down sack. You should be prepared to call a timeout right away there. And we haven't even talked about that challenge, which turned out to be an absolute disaster for the Bears. This was just a terribly coached football game, especially in the first half, and out of a bye week. It's just inexcusable.
Out of a bye week against a team on a short week, starting their backup quarterback. I was in that Packers locker room. We talked about this on the podcast not too long ago. I was in that locker room five or 6 days ago, whatever it was. And they were emotionally drained. They were beat up. Get your quarterback some rhythm early going. Establish yourself some confidence early on and beat this team. Aaron Rodgers is coming back. Maybe not this year, but he's going to be back next year. You missed the golden opportunity. This was, I want to call it a marquee moment. This could very well be the defining moment in John Fox's tenure here. I think it'd be very damning. The rest of the season, all that matters is Mitch Trubisky. The season is 3-6. It's over. It's over.
Yeah, it is over. And all that goodwill and chances and the P-word playoffs that came up during the bye week, that's all gone. Excuse me while I open this water that I'm going to need to get through the rest of this podcast because it's just that type of day. You know, you bring up John Fox, and I'm telling you, I need this to get through. This was the most important game in his 3 years as Bears head coach. And it just went as poorly as it possibly could. There's the bigger scale, and you said that this will kind of be the defining game. I agree. But let's also zero in on the moment. That challenge, there's some excuses you can make. Is it all on John Fox? No, you have to be able to trust the people that are telling you to challenge it or not challenge it. Of course, we'll never know. I mean, was he actually told to challenge it? Did he do it on his own? I don't know. He seemed to indicate that he got some help, but he didn't want to put the blame on it. I don't care. It still comes down to coaching, whether it's him or the people in the booth or whatever. John Fox said they thought they had a touchdown. Forget for a second that the ball was fumbled. It was very clear that his knee was down, and maybe his foot, too. I got to go back and look at a few more angles there from that angle. But there's no doubt that a body part was down before the ball hit the pylon. It wasn't a touchdown. So John Fox said best case scenario, or worst case scenario, they thought they moved the ball up a yard. You don't challenge over a yard. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be sure on these things. All right, now let's get to, what did Fox say? He said that they never even considered that the ball may have been fumbled, that it may be a touchback. And perhaps if you can see the replay 50 times, you can see that. I don't know about you, Adam. It took me one replay. First replay I saw, I looked up and I go, oh, crap, he fumbled that ball. That's going to be a touchback. So how his staff did not see that on the replay, I don't know. That is just a perfect microcosm of, so far, John Fox's 3 years here, and a big game like this, I think it will go down as the defining moment in his tenure as Chicago Bears head coach.
Well, so much of coaching is judging and having a sense of momentum and feel for your team. In that instance, they converted the third down, was like 3rd and 13. Huge game by Benny Cunningham, your third down back in a screenplay. You hustled to the line of scrimmage. They were ready for a play. Mitch Trubisky was ready for a play. I just criticized your running game, but you still got Jordan Howard in the goal line situation. That Packers defense, it's not good. It's not the Saints defense. It's not the Ravens defense. It's still a reeling unit. You can still overpower them if need be, or if they can. To me, I didn't like the challenge from the get-go. There's too much to... I guess I saw it both ways. I saw, okay, maybe hit the pylon, and then look, he's out. Then the fumble. Like, people have different arguments on Twitter. A lot of people. I mean, what I took note of on Twitter is how many people called it such a Fox-like moment.
Yeah.
Like reporters, national reporters, you know, people who have covered him in Denver, people who have covered him in Carolina, people who have known him for years, call it a Fox-like moment. They're having fun with the situation. Did you see the I think Barstool Big Cat tweeted it out, the side-by-side videos of Mike McCarthy and John Fox? I mean, that's not a good look.
Yeah.
And Mike McCarthy was animated on the sideline all day today because of what Brent Holmley was doing. But yeah, in that instance, I mean, the confounding look that John Fox has on his face, it's inexplicable, really.
And there was one, I don't know if it's the same one you're referring to, where he zoomed in on Fox and had the Curb Your Enthusiasm music playing. And it's just like the perfect picture of that moment. It's just, it's a bad, bad look. And I agree. Well, first of all, to his credit, Benny Cunningham took responsibility for it. Because in the end, he did fumble the ball. And he said that the coaches teach them not to reach for the pylon unless it's fourth down. Which generally I agree with. You know, Brett Bielema used to always say, we run the ball through the end zone at Wisconsin. We don't reach for it. So I thought it was good that Benny took responsibility for that. But in the end, I mean, it's just a bad, bad challenge and a bad, bad moment in a very important game. And by the way, it was an important moment in this game. It would have been 10-10. Instead, you get nothing out of that.
Just consider the optics of it. It's a bad look for John Fox, a guy who was supposed to bring stability to your organization. And I get why the McCaskies and Ryan Pace still covet the guy. Or I don't. Maybe that's changed after today. You know, he's got a history of building rosters, even though he doesn't get them over the hump. He's got a history of establishing good defenses. And you've seen some of those things come together. The Bears completely overhauled their locker room. The mood is much better. You don't have guys like Martellus Bennett and Brandon Marshall running amok inside of there right now. For better or worse, it's a better place, but you still need results. The optics, the look of this, it's embarrassing not only for Fox, but for the entire franchise. It's not a good look for the Bears team as a franchise right now.
Another embarrassing moment? How about having to delay a game on an extra point? That was special. Okay. You mentioned Clay Matthews, but you mentioned the Packers locker room. I'm thinking of Clay Matthews in my head. I quoted him in my story because I thought he had two interesting quotes afterwards. One, he talked about the intensity that they brought to the field today, that the Packers did. And he said, you know, coming out of two losses, you would hope that you come out with a little bit more moxie against your division rival. Well, I would hope that coming out of a bye week in a game where you're favored and should beat your division rival, you would have some intensity. I thought the Bears just looked flat. And I would point to the defensive side of the ball for that more than anything else. It was sloppy on offense, but we've seen a lot of that this year. We've seen a lot of mistakes and that type of stuff. I was really disappointed in the defense. You know, I said on the podcast this week that I thought missing Trevathan would be the difference of 4 points, which you kind of reacted like that was too much. And in my head, I'm going, 4 points is a lot to put on one player. They clearly missed Danny Trevathan today. But beyond that, I thought just the intensity was just sluggish. And they got they got beat from just an energy standpoint by Brett Hundley, who at times looked like Aaron Rodgers today.
I understand Danny Trevathan's value. I get it. When your third string running back, the pack, I don't even know his name, is able to run through the middle of your defense, that's a bad look.
Jamal Williams.
I thought Nick Kukowski played reasonably okay for his first game action since week two. Now, that said, what was really disappointing to me were two things. The pass rush. The Bears cannot get to Brent Hundley without blitzing. That is bad. That is real bad. Why is – who's the right tackle again? Who's pulling in for Brian Brulaga?
Justin Evans, right?
McCray.
Justin McCray.
So where is – Leonard Floyd, your first-round pick from a year ago. Where is Akeem Hicks, your all-pro defensive tackle? Where are these your sack leaders? Why do you have to blitz Craven LeBlanc, Nick Kukowski, and even the sack that Floyd, I think it was Sam Acho, collided on for? They sent Kristen Jones up the middle, so he had a 5-on-5 situation. Every sack in Hundley came off a blitz. Not good. And then Kyle Fuller. We've sang his praises a lot on this podcast. Today was not a good day for Kyle Fuller.
Yeah, it was a bad day for Kyle Fuller. I am not going to leave Vic Fangio out of this, though, when it comes to coaching decisions. You and I have talked about this when we've discussed Christian Jones. He has been a bright spot on this team. I like Christian Jones a lot. I think he's a decent to good player and has been key for this defense. But we have also pointed out that he's better when he's playing alongside Danny Trevathan, and when he's not when he doesn't have the extra responsibilities of having to relay the defensive calls on the field. I was shocked today when I'm looking at warm-ups and I see that he has the green dot on his helmet. I was shocked by that. And a part of it, I think, is them trying to reward him for how well he's been playing. And when they went into some nickel situations, they were actually taking the extra linebacker off, and it was really just Jones out there, so they're trying to get him as much playing time as possible. I understand it from that standpoint. But there was a lot. There was pre-snap confusion on defense today. I think you're just adding too much to Christian Jones's plate. I think you got to understand that he is really just a number two linebacker, not the guy. And it's not like I'm pulling this out of nowhere. When Danny Trevathan didn't play against the Vikings, we didn't see this much of a drop-off. When the defense got loose in that game, it was when John Timu, who was the one playing because they didn't have Nick Kwiatkowski, Timu was handling the defensive signals in that game. When he got hurt and Jones had to take it over, that's when I thought things really started to slip on defense in that game. So I was surprised by that decision today. I put that on the defensive game plan during the week. It's really no different than weirdly deciding to make Josh Bellamy a big part of his offense. I mean, that's stuff that happens during the week. And I thought that backfired today. I thought that was part of the reason why they missed Trevathan.
Let me just go back to week two. Wasn't it Nick Kwiatkowski calling the plays over Danny Trevathan, actually, when Darrell Freeman went out? So I get why he leaned towards Jones, because he's played a lot more football as of late compared to Nick Kwiatkowski. But there were so many instances where you saw guys pointing to this spot or the other, trying to get aligned before Brett Hundley got the snap. Not a good look coming off a bye week. Not a good look against a backup quarterback. I mean, you're right. They did not get to Brett Hundley enough. They did not confuse him enough. It was a bad day for Bears defense that, for the most part, has been good against a lot better quarterbacks this season.
Let's get you John Fox's thoughts. He didn't have many answers, but I think it's important to at least hear what the head coach had to say after a loss like this.
Yeah, obviously, very disappointing loss here at home. I think, like a lot of games this season, we've kind of been in the thick of things till the end and just came up a little short, basically is what I told the team. And, that's kind of where we are, 3-6. Two games we really weren't in because of giveaways. But, all but two of those, I think we have an opportunity to win in the fourth quarter, and we just came up a little short today. No major injuries to report. We'll open it up for questions.
John, on the first half screen to Benny, mm-hmm.
Oh, on the challenge play. Well, I think every indication we had was that he scored, and if anything, he would be at the one or inside the one instead of, I think they spotted the ball originally at the three. Obviously, after replay and much time under, in fact, one of the officials thought he heard it's a touchdown. He had no idea that they were ruling it was a touchback, during the deciphering. But, obviously that's a play you'd like to have back, but, that's not how this game works.
Just to be clear about that, you do have people watching the replay above and helping you with that?
Well, I mean, it's all of us. I mean, I'm not going to point fingers. I mean, it stops here. So, obviously, in hindsight, I wish it was something we did differently. But that wasn't part of what we thought was going to be the result.
Was the touchback considered when you guys were discussing? Was that a possibility mentioned?
No, I don't think anybody saw that. I think maybe on 50 times, like some people get to look at it, I think maybe you could see that. But on our look during the game, that wasn't really even discussed.
John, in your career, have you ever seen a ball change hands on a replay that was not challenging a change of possession?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they look at everything, so that has happened. I've seen that happen before.
John, are there any commonalities? It seems like the last 3 years coming out of a bye, it's been kind of a sloppy start.
I don't know. Again, everybody's got their own interpretation, but I think we had an opportunity to win that game, and like some of the games before, not necessarily out of a bye or into a bye, we just came up short.
What would you make of the penalties, particularly in the first half? Seven in the first half.
Yeah, I think there were some of them that I will question. I'm sure when I look at the tape tomorrow. Some of them were unforced, the false start, I think early on, a couple of them. We were able to overcome that. We got behind the chains. Actually, we were able to possess the ball in that particular play. But, we're not good enough to overcome that. And at the end of the day, we came up short.
Do
talk about being in the thick of things in some of these losses, but facing a backup quarterback, Green Bay at home, you know, you think you guys have some momentum. Is this any more disappointing or frustrating than other ones?
No, I think, you know, that lot gets made of that on the outside. I mean, we're playing a rookie quarterback. We're playing some backup guys as well. You know, a lot can be made of that. Just, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to who executes, you know, and that's a pro football team, and they practice and get paid too.
Do you worry about your job security after a bad loss like this?
I've been doing this too long. I've never worried about my job security, and I won't start any minute going forward.
John, what were your impressions of Brett Hundley?
You know, like they were before. You know, he's a very talented guy. I watched him coming out of college. He's got good height. He make all the throws. He's got a very strong arm. I think he's a poised young man. He's got good athleticism. I think we saw on a couple of scrambles. I mean, you know, I think no different than today than really what I saw coming in.
How did you think Mitch played?
You know, I thought probably, you know, statistically and just poise-wise and handling situations, I thought probably the best to date. You know, was it perfect? No, seldom is. But, you know, I was impressed with the young guy.
How much did you guys miss Danny in the middle?
Well, I think anytime you have a starter not there, you know, I think you miss them. You know, that's why they're starters. But, you know, again, you go around the league and there's people playing different lineups every week. And, you know, it comes down to execution regardless who you call on.
Plan for Kyle Long to test it before the game and see how he felt, or did you have any claim that?
No, I mean, he was healthy. I think he went in for a play. You know, we wouldn't have suited him up if he wasn't healthy. I just didn't think maybe he was going to get the, you know, the I don't know, the load of a whole game starting. And so that's the way we went, and, you know, we'll see how that went.
What did you think of Inman's debut?
You know, that good. You know, I think he's a solid starter in the league. He's been that. You know, he's got good football intelligence. I think he's helped that room. You know, I thought he had a good day. You know, and I think he'll just get better moving forward.
You guys also stuck with Connor through a couple misses that he's had recently. And he hit a few from beyond 40 today. What'd you think of his day and you know, the way he's handled this season?
Well, I mean, it's like everything. You'd like him to be perfect. You know, the reality is he's missed four kicks, you know, in nine games. You know, he was good today in tough conditions, and, you know, those weren't really easy conditions for anybody that, you know, handles the football.
John, you've had in the last two games, you've had a touchdown taken away by me play.
Mm-hmm.
Now this happened today. Do you sit there and consider yourself unlucky?
No, I've never really. I think you make your own luck. You know, I think, you know, you overcome a lot of things in this league, and sometimes it's calls. And, you know, really kind of I said in a nutshell is that, you know, in nine games, you know, two, we didn't give ourselves a chance, but in seven games, we've had an opportunity to win every single one of them. Reality is we're 3-6.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
So there's John Fox. You heard me ask him in there about why they've come out so sloppy out of the bye, really, for three straight years now. And he kind of, well, I forget the direct quote. You just heard it. It said something like it's up to everyone's interpretation. Well, my interpretation is that it's sloppy. And it's inexcusable to come out the way they have. And it's just weird. I don't know. Maybe we all fell into a trap and we should know better that when it's the Bears and Packers, you should just pick the Packers. But I'm going to evaluate these games. I'm going to watch the tape. I'm going to look at the matchups, and I'm going to tell you based on the matchups and the depth charts and the roster who's available, who should win the game. The Bears should have won this game. The Bears absolutely should have won this game. They lost this game. Brett Hundley may have looked better. Maybe he threw a couple good balls in this game. There was also times he called a timeout at the end of the first quarter when the quarter was going to run out. That's the quarterback you lost to today. It's crazy.
They allowed themselves. Of course you should pick the Bears. Aaron Rodgers is out. They looked awful the past couple weeks. They're on the road. It's rainy. It's a sloppy field. Who are you supposed to pick? Bears have a top 10 defense. They're supposed to have a top 10 defense. Again, there's no pass rush. Your best cornerback played awful. Got beat a lot. Look, Brett Hundley made a couple nice throws. The touchdown pass to Devonta Adams was like a typical back shoulder Aaron Rodgers throw. Just a rifle. He had a nice another completion to really kill the Bears at the end of the game. Just an abysmal performance. And I almost want to argue that the defense's performance was more of an abomination than what the offense put forth. I'm still trying to understand. I'm arguing against it in the tomorrow's paper of why they're protecting Trubisky. I get fifth start, whatever. But to have that veteran defense like that, which is feeling so good, to get beaten by Brett Hundley, I mean, more of this loss to me, I feel like, is on the defense.
Well, I think the defense struggling the way they did was the most surprising thing today. I think that's what we didn't see coming.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I think that is really, when you looked at this matchup, and I said it, I mean, the one constant has been the Bears' defense, and I just did not think the Packers were going to score as much as they did today. And a lot of times they settle for field goals, but even the fact that it got in the field goal range was very, very surprising. So, look, let's end this episode by kind of talking about what you're hinting at with this holding back of Trubisky and what you wrote about. I mean, what are the Bears go from here? Because I get back to, they now have I thought Dontrell Inman was a plus today. I thought he actually showed an ability to play. I thought Adam Shaheen showed an ability to make plays. I still think Tariq Cohen can make plays. To me, the excuses are going out the window. You had a guy in Trey McBride that showed you something in New Orleans, and then you don't play him. The Marcus Wheaton thing, it doesn't bother me as much, but McBride showed the ability to play, and he couldn't see the field today. The personnel decisions are weird. The play calls are weird. Why don't they move the pocket more to Trubisky's strengths? Why are they not doing that? They spent half the game doing these fake end-arounds wide receivers going in motion behind the play, but they never actually gave it to that player. What were they trying to set up? I mean, it was just stuff like that that was just weird. And there's no flow on offense. There's no rhythm. I don't know what Trubisky's supposed to do. They're hurting his development or slowing his development right now, in my opinion.
The most damning thing for me, and this is how I ended my column, is that you've installed this risk-adverse mindset in him, which is good. You want him to protect the football. You want him to make good decisions in tough moments. But now it's starting to trend towards something a bit more disastrous. He's gun-shy. The gunslinger, he called himself that. The gunslinger is gun-shy. He's become indecisive. That's what he blamed his 5 sacks on. Yes, he was confused by the Packers' coverage, but I think the 16 sacks this year, a bulk of them, are actually on Mitch Trubisky. He's taking sacks because he doesn't know where to go with the football. He's become indecisive. There's been instances where guys are open. There's been instances where guys are not open. But the indecisiveness, that could really come back to haunt the Bears. If you've turned this gunslinger into a gun-shy kid, I don't know what you do. I'm sure you could coach it out of him by taking the training wheels off, as I argue in my column, but to me, when you're trending towards that direction, it could be pretty damning. It really could be.
It's very concerning, but at least we're still seeing the potential. We're seeing the arm strength. We're seeing him make big throws. It's all there. But I agree. The Bears have to be careful here. I don't know that they can solve this year. Again, I'm going to point to the fact that I see weapons. I see things that they can do, and they're just not doing it, which is why I'm going to put the blame on Fox and Dow Loggins at this point. But Ryan Pace, as he sits here and watches this, I hope that he is taking a hard look at what the Los Angeles Rams did at the end of last season and in the offseason. They saw a guy in Jared Goff, who I would say very similar, has all the ability, can move on the run, great arm strength, can make the plays, and looked completely lost last year, looked held back, looked confused with Jeff Fisher, who's another one of these conservative head coaches out there, and just an offense that just didn't look that good. And they went out, they made a head coaching change, they made a great hire in Sean McVay, who's been great for Goff, and they got him help. They made trades, they made signings, they made draft picks, and they got him help. And the Goff looks great, the Rams look great, and they may have salvaged Jared Goff's career when it very easily could have gone the other way. That's the important kind of situation that the Bears are in. They have to be careful, and Ryan Pace has to handle this the right way. I don't think I'm making too much of this at this point. This is very concerning how they've handled Mitch Trubisky the last 5 games when you actually do see the talent still on the field despite the offensive problems.
You can't overrate what that change meant to Jared Goff. You just can't overrate it. Now, I think the situations of Jeff Fisher and John Fox are a bit different. Just Fisher was there forever, underachieved forever. But when you're dealing with a franchise quarterback, you always see it. Change is almost inevitable. Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, it just happens. Why? Because you have to find the right coach for him. And look, there's still 7 games left. A lot can happen. Who knows what we'll be talking about in 2 or 3 weeks. But today was a very ugly day for Bears football.
And I'll go back that this was a must-win for John Fox. It was his most important game. And I don't know that it could have gone much worse. It was an absolute flop at Soldier Field for the coaching staff and for the players, too. I mean, they got to own it, but just not a good look for John Fox. The optics, as you pointed out, were bad. We'll wrap things up here. By the way, the voicemail line is open. We've got a lot of them as the Bears lose to the Packers the way they did today. But 312-222-5050, there's still an opportunity to get in there, leave your voicemails, and we will bring them to you on Thursday's podcast as we regroup for another opponent, division arrival coming in, Detroit Lions, who had their struggles against the Cleveland Browns today but managed to pull out that victory. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Remember, you can read what we wrote from Soldier Field today. ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you can get Johnsy's column. WGNRadio.com/Bears is where you can get mine. That's all up there. Please subscribe, if you haven't already, to the podcast. It's on iTunes. It's on TuneIn. It's on the WGN Radio app. You can rate and review it. We appreciate you doing that and spreading the word. We'll get out of here. This was an ugly one for the Bears, who are now 3-6. And you can take that playoff word and shove it, because it's not happening. We'll talk to you later in the week.